Good morning. Good morning, Father. Christ is our midst.
He is ever shall be.
And welcome to everybody who's with us online this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, in the first few centuries of the church, the monks who lived in the desert often fell prey to thieves. One day, St. Macarius of Egypt was returning to his cell and found thieves robbing his cell. At first, St. Macarius just stood and watched. And after a while, he started to help the robbers load his things onto the back of their horse. The saint had no care for the things that were being stolen. Another saint, St. Euphrates, if I said his name right, was also robbed. He, like St. Macarius, went to help the thieves load their horses. And when St. Euphrates returned to his cell, he noticed that one of the thieves left behind one of his walking staffs. So what does he do? He grabs the staff, runs up, chases them down, said, "Hey, you forgot this," and returns it to him. Another saint who lived in the desert was robbed was St. Theodore. Three thieves started to rob him, and St. Theodore was a really big guy. And so he wrestled them down, he overpowered them. Then he sat him down, and he said, "Okay, we're going to divide the gifts up equally." And he gave them, his goods equally, and he gave it to them. The common theme here is these saints, these holy ones of God, didn't care about their possessions. They weren't owned by their possessions. They understood that everything ultimately is God's. What they had was what God was God's. They were merely stewards taking care of God's things. Read in Psalm 24, which, by the way, we pray this psalm in a canon of preparation for Holy Communion. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Some translations, English translations, render it as, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Give me an opportunity to sip my water. Everything is God's. Think about it. If you make it, you own it. It's yours. God made the air we breathe. God made the sun, put the sun in the sky. And the food that we buy at Publix is all God's, and we're entrusted with it. And it would even add something like our car that we drive. Think about it. Car manufacturers simply take the things that are God's, the elements of the earth, apply technology and labor, and fashion it, a car out of it. So everything is God's. But sometimes we get confused thinking that we own things. Remember the righteous Job. He was super wealthy. And he was totally saintly before God, totally blameless. And through no fault of his, Job lost everything, his family, and all his worldly goods. And when everything happens, Job falls to the ground and he prays. And this is what he prays to God. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed is the name of the Lord." Why? Because everything was God's. He's the origin of everything. By the way, I remember when I was a little boy, I got really mad. And I got mad at my mom. Said, "Mom, I'm running away. I'm going to run away." She said, "Fine." And she quoted Job, "Naked you came into the world, naked you shall leave." I was allowed to leave. I had to take my clothes off. Needless to say, I went to my room, I guess. Last weekend, Paul Alexander gave us a wonderful retreat, wonderful young priest. One of the things he mentioned was our tendency to hoard things, to hoard stuff. And this is because he said, because we long for happiness and we try to extract happiness from things. I'm just going to see how many, I don't know how many young people, how many know the song Satisfaction? Rolling Stones, yeah, so definitely, okay? Now, it's a great song, right? And it's because, and you know, it has one of the greatest riffs of all time, they say. But according to commentators, it's the lyrics that touch an eternal truth that people identify with. And this is, you know, summarizing the lyrics, "No matter how hard I try and try and try, I cannot get no satisfaction," right? Why? I can't get it from this world. He's Mick Jagger. It's almost autobiographical. I think it is autobiographical. when you read the lyrics or hear the lyrics, but it's about he's trying to get satisfaction from the world and the things of the world, and he just can't get it. Many years ago, when the Powerball was $1.5 billion, I remember billionaire Mark Cuban said this to the would-be winner, or advice to the would-be winner. If you're not happy before you have money, you will not be happy after, because money does not bring happiness. He's somebody who would know. Recall the rich man who came to Jesus and asked what he needed to find eternal life. The rich man reported to Jesus that he followed all the commandments, and he was essentially a really good person. And Jesus said, okay, that's good, that's great. But if you want to be perfect, remember in the Beatitudes, the Lord says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, sell everything and follow me. And the man walked away sad. Why? Because his possessions owned him. He sought to derive happiness from it. Instead, he walked away. Unlike St. Macarius, St. Euthydius, St. Theodore, and Job, his possessions owned him. He chose the possessions over the kingdom of heaven. For this reason, Jesus said it was hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And by the way, rich people do make it. Throughout the New Testament, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, Old Testament patriarch Abraham, why? Because their possessions don't open them. Wealth is not a barrier. It's what we do with the things that we have. Saint the Apostle John, do not love the world or the things in the world, because the world passes away. In other words, it has no eternal value. As Father Jacob just so wonderfully shared with the children, today is the Sunday of the Ladder of Divine Ascent. And it's a 1,400-year-old spiritual metaphor for our spiritual journeys. The bottom of the ladder, you know, there you see on the wall or in the center of the icon, in the center of the church, is planted into the life of the church. Meaning our journey is grounded in the life of the church, in worship, prayer, scripture, ascetical readings, the teachings of the church, the teaching of the fathers. And at the bottom of the ladder is the bishops and the priests and monastics pointing up the ladder to the kingdom of heaven. And of course, at the top is our Lord receiving his saints. And what I want to point out with us today, and this is what I'm going to, the first three rungs of the ladder are all about not being owned by the world, not being attached to the things in this world, that possessions don't own us. When St. John Climacus writes about it, he says, if you want to fly high, if you want to get up off the ground, you need to be detached from the things of this world. Being detached means the things of this world do not own me. Possessions, the things that I have, don't guide me. They don't tell me what to do. They don't influence me. I do not seek satisfaction from things. It's all about being, in the tradition, what's called detached. And I'll tell you, detached, when you find detachment from things, you really find joy. When I'm detached, I understand that everything is God's, and I'm merely a steward of it, including the heartbeat in my chest. Adding to this, detached also includes not being influenced by what others think about me. I'm unaffected by other people's opinions. It only matters to me what God thinks. Likewise, with news or politics. I may be sad or grieved over events, but they don't own me. I don't get all upset about things. I do not worry. There's joy when you're detached from the things of this world. It sets you free. It sets us free. I am freer today than I was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, when I learned about this. I mean, I learned about it academically in seminary, but started practicing it. I'm free. Things don't weigh me down. I don't worry about when somebody says, you know, something rude about me. God bless you. It's okay. I can move on. It doesn't matter. I think in your mind, detachment equals sign freedom. Detachment is freedom from this world and its influence, and it brings peace into one's heart. Now, naturally, the most detached person who ever lived was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Clearly in the scriptures, possessions did not own him. By his own choice, we see in the scriptures, he only owned a cloak and sandals. Not once do we hear Jesus' word about material goods or what other people thought about him. And this is the greatest detachment. He was detached from his own will. It was what God the Father's will was. Right? We pray, thy will be done. And sometimes I question whether we really mean it. He says in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's kneeling down, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass. Let this impending passion that's before me pass. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's the ultimate detachment. To give up one's own will to God. And that's really, he always wants the best for us. Give it up, detached. So brothers and sisters, detachment is to be free. It's to be free. It's to fly, soar like an eagle. You know, but if we're detached, we're stuck on the ground. Our feet are in the mud. If we want to soar, we have to be detached. Detached from other people's praises of us, their insults of us. Now, I don't like when people praise me or, because it kind of gets in your head, so you got to let go of it, right? Detached from world events. And of course, the most basic thing, possessions. It is said, and I can't remember the origin of this, so forgive me, to be detached is to be attached to God. Who could restate it? When it's attached from this world, he is attached to God. He's soaring high. He's climbing out ladder to the kingdom. In fact, the highest rung of the ladder is agape love. And agape love is to totally be detached from yourself and just love the other just because they exist. So, anyhow, to Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.